This message entitled The Popular Chant was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on April 11th, 2021 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr. The scripture reference is John 20:11-18.
This is called The Popular Chant. The Popular Chant. It's John chapter 20, and it's from verses 11 to 18. But you know, I think I'll just go ahead and wait on that, and we'll go through it together, and we want to make some mention of some things and to look at it in more detail. So we'll just go through it the one time, all right? But where we're going to be, so you can keep it on your laps this way, is John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18, okay? We're just going to take it section by section as we go along here. Hallelujah. So we looked at all the various things that had to do with Jesus going to the cross and then going to the tomb and then rising from the dead. And then there are a few in John anyway. There's not all of them there, but there are some resurrection appearances. And we're going to focus on those as well. Praise God. So we will get to the actual scripture in a second. It's called the popular chant. Popular chant. Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for this day. Help us, Lord, to always look to you and to find our direction in everything you have to say right here in your holy word. I pray, dear God, that by the mercy and grace of Jesus, Lord, you'll open these things up to us. That we will see, dear God, how merciful and gracious you are, dear God, in opening these things up to our hearing and to our understanding. And Lord, that's the thing that was severely lacking back before Jesus was glorified, is they didn't get it. They didn't see how it all fit together. They didn't see the glory of it until he was glorified. And I believe that makes sense to us. So praise the Lord. So we'll look to you, dear God, in this time and open up our understanding, open up our hearts, and help us, dear God, hallelujah, to switch from having a popular chant, dear God, to a glorious chant, hallelujah, that becomes popular. And I think that's the key for us today. It's not a worldly popularity that we want in these days. It's a biblical popularity. So we thank you for that, dear God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Pastor once said, there is no real reason to be shy about asking God for what we need. I think some people get the idea, since God knows all things, we don't need to say anything to him, you know. Well, the problem with that is you end up not having much of a relationship. Part of what it is to know God is to ask him. Amen? Because he's more than willing to give that which we need. But we have a tendency to think, well, but he's all-knowing, so he already knows the stuff. He doesn't need me reiterating what I need. He already knows what I need. He wants us to know what we need. And I hope everybody sees where that's going, okay? He wants us to see what we need. Praise God. All right. And there's no reason to be shy about asking God for what we see our need to be. If he wants to change that, if he wants to show us a different direction, if he wants to take it off into a different emphasis, he can do that. But he does want us to ask. James says that we must ask in faith for what we need. And Jesus himself encouraged his followers to ask. Numerous times he said this while they were gathered together. I've talk to a lot of people who say that God has never answered their prayer, so they don't bother with any of it. They don't bother with the praying or whatever because he never answers anything. But the fact is, God answers every son's and daughter's prayer. All right? He will respond to the prayer of repentance for those that, you know, don't know him yet. But anybody who already knows him, okay, that he or she can have that prayer, and God not only hears it, but he answers it. Now, you got to believe that. That's right from Jesus. Jesus said that. Amen? You know, ask and it will be given you. You know, seek and ye shall find. All the way through the gospel accounts, Jesus makes it clear he wants communication. Amen? And sometimes he gives that which we ask. Sometimes he will flatly refuse and say no. That's still an answer, everybody, you know. A lot of people today are looking for that prosperity thing, you know, where they're patted on the back and told you can have anything you want, whenever you want it, you know. But that's not quite what he says. Sometimes he can refuse to do something. Sometimes he can tell you that the timing is wrong. Sometimes he can tell you, not yet, not now. You got to live a couple more, you know, seasons of understanding and so forth before you're ready for this thing that you think you want right now. Okay, does everybody see that? All right? That sometimes we must wait. But let's be honest about it. He always answers. May not be what you're expecting to hear or even what you want to hear. Okay? But he always, always, always answers. Okay? All right. Story is told of a father of a young family, and he lost his job. He and his wife began to pray that God would provide for their needs. True story, by the way. And he encouraged his children to join in that prayer as well. You can tell it's a true story because it's not Johnny, it's Bobby. Okay? Their son Bobby took them at their word. God, he prayed, I need a shirt, size 7. I need a shirt, size 7. He wanted a special kind of shirt, and he wanted it in a particular size, obviously one that would fit him. Okay? Night after night he prayed, God, I need a shirt. Size 7, don't forget. Finally, a phone call came in the middle of the day, and Mom was home, and she answered the call. Here it was a man that they knew from church who owned a store downtown, a small clothing store, okay? And he said to the wife, he said, I know you're having a rough time right now. He said, why don't you come down here to the store and go through some boys' clothes that you may be able to use? They're mostly one size. Most of them are size 7. But maybe you can make do. The mother could have told her son ahead of time that they were going down to the store for this purpose, that he was going to get some size 7 shirts, or at least one anyway. She didn't know what it was going to turn out to be. But she had heard his prayer for weeks, and she wanted him to see it answered for himself. Okay? When they arrived at the store, the owner brought out one size 7 shirt, put it on the counter, went back into the back room again, and brought out another. And then another, and then another, until there were 12 shirts, every one of them a 7, on the countertop. 12 shirts. I think we learn to believe in the power of prayer by praying, by being involved in it. Don't get the attitude like, well, God knows everything, so he couldn't care less what we think. Fact is, he wants that communication. He wants us to be in touch with him. He already knows it. He knows what size he needs now. He knows what size he's going to need in a year. Okay? God knows all things, but he wants to hear it from you. Amen? And he wants to hear it from me. Okay? I think we learn to believe in the power of prayer by praying. Now, our job in all of this is to ask. But God's desire, now listen, God's desire is to answer. He wants us to ask, but he desires above all things to answer it and to have himself heard in the process. Amen? Do you see what's going on here? And she was very wise in how she handled that and what she was doing, because she let him see it for himself. Amen? Because otherwise, it's something off in left field. Otherwise, it's something that mom thinks was neat, but, you know, maybe it's not so neat. No, he knew. He had prayed, and God answered. A dozen size 7 shirts all over the counter, and he got every one of them. Praise God. Of course, they had to keep pushing on him and so forth and keeping him smaller so he could fit in the size 7, you know, in a year or two. But, you know, this. But he asked, and God answered. Praise the Lord. Our part to ask, his part to desire to answer. Praise God. Sometimes it just becomes a popular chant. Do you know what I'm talking about? There are people, and as we go, we'll get into this, and I think you'll see it more clearly. There are people that say, yes, I have faith in God. Yes, I know God can do this, you know, and so I'm looking forward, and, you know, so forth and so on. Our part is to ask and mean it, all right? And that shirt, by the way, had to be a size 7. Praise God. And it was. And every one of them was. It's God's part to desire to answer. Let me show you what I'm talking about in our text. Because we have Mary Magdalene, who's standing outside the tomb, okay? And she's desiring to find her Jesus. You know, you got to remember that she's not looking for a live Jesus. Nobody's really looking for a live Jesus. They don't think that's what's going to happen. They just want to find his body. They want to be able to bury him. They want to be able to have it locked down, so to speak, and not stolen away and all the other things that they were hearing about. Okay? Verse 11. Now, this is John chapter 20, verse 11. Take a look at this. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher, weeping. Remember what happened? The Bible says, I think it's in John's gospel, actually, that Mary went there, okay, saw the tomb was open. Another gospel says something about her and some other women coming, found the tomb open, and was able to speak with a couple of angels who were standing by, all right? But they hadn't met Jesus. They hadn't met the risen Lord. Not yet. So they don't get it. You see that? Okay. She stooped down, it says in verse 11, and looked into the sepulcher. And she saw two angels, verse 12 says, which is holy ground. This is holy ground. Two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, which just emphasized what we talked about last week. Do you remember that? That the shroud was there, that is the cloth that covered Jesus' body, it was there. But there was also the cloth that covered his face and his head. It's called the napkin. Okay? And we talked about this last week. All right, and that is at the other end. You know, his head at one end and his feet, okay, at the other end. Okay, so one is at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Verse 13, and they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Now, remember that. That's what the angel said to her, but she's not done hearing this. Okay? Woman, why weepest thou? Why are you crying? See, the angels know that Jesus is risen from the dead. Why are you crying? You know, it's kind of like with Lazarus. Okay? I almost preached on that yesterday and decided to go with something else, kind of at the last minute almost, in another story to show Jesus in his mercy and grace. But the story of Lazarus is important to recognize too, okay? That, remember when everybody said, look, he's crying. He's crying, you know, he's weeping. Bible even says, John chapter, 15:35, I think. Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the entire Bible, okay? Jesus wept, okay? Jesus, why are you weeping? Somebody could have asked him. But you know what the typical answer to that is they were close. He was their friend. You know, they knew each other for at least a few years. They were close. That's why he's weeping. I don't believe it for a minute. I don't think that's why he was weeping at all. I think he's weeping out of grief for what he's seeing the Jews not understand. What he's seeing the people of God who should be able to see something in all of this and they don't understand. He's not weeping. Listen, Jesus knows he's going to see Lazarus alive in the next 5 minutes. Why would he be sitting there weeping? He knows he's going to step out of the tomb and they're going to have more times together. That's a good thing. Amen? It's a good thing. But that's not why he's weeping. I think he's weeping because nobody seems to understand. Nobody gets it. Nobody's seeing what's really happening. Now that doesn't happen, as it turns out, until he is glorified. That's what the Bible says. And they really didn't get it until he was raised from the dead. It's one thing for Lazarus to be raised from the dead, but even the Jews, you know, big deal. Lazarus raised from the dead, you know. So you know what they vowed to do after that? Kill him. Here's poor Lazarus. He barely makes it through. He doesn't even make it through when it comes to this illness. And he dies. And then Jesus raises from the dead. And what does everybody do? Wants to kill him. Okay? Wants to kill him. Woman, why weepest thou? That's what the angels are saying. She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord. See, she's not looking for a live Jesus. She just wants Jesus back. Just wants him back. I know not where they have laid him. Okay? That word laid is a very passive word. It means they literally just laid him down. And he's in a horizontal position. That's what laid him is referring to. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and she didn't know that that was Jesus. She's not looking for a live Jesus, so she doesn't see one. Okay? Now, take a look at body motions and body language that's going on here. She was stooping down. She was looking in the tomb, and she was talking to these angels, asking them questions even. You know, where have you laid him? They asked him or her questions too. You know, why are you weeping? Okay. Verse 14 says, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back. That means she probably got up from her stoop position and turned around at least off to the side, if not in the opposite direction, and saw this guy standing there, or perhaps kneeling there, thought he was the gardener. Sir, if you have taken Jesus away, tell me where you put him so I can go retrieve him. Okay? But she's seeing Jesus, the Bible says, but she didn't know it's Jesus. She didn't get it yet. Okay? Now watch this. And Jesus saith unto her, now this is the guy she thought was the gardener, and he's off to the side from her, and she's facing him now. And he says to her, woman, why weepest thou? See, they can't get past that. They got angels asking them. They got Jesus asking them. She doesn't know it's Jesus yet, but she's got these people asking him, asking her, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for? Who do you seek? And she supposed him to be the gardener. And she said unto him, sir, if you have borne him hence, in other words, if you have taken him away, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will talk. I will take him away. Here's this possibly wisp of a woman. You know, who knows? Maybe 25. We don't know exactly how heavy she was or what build she was, but she's going to pick Jesus up and carry him away, who's probably at least 160. I mean, just guessing. But she's going to do that? See, she's not thinking straight. It's just like we saw last week. Not logical. Show up to the tomb to get to the body of Jesus and anoint him some more, because they feel they needed to do more with the anointing. And they're not even remembering that the stone is in the way. They get there and find the stone has been moved, and they still don't get it. Because why? Because they haven't met the glorified Lord. It's the same with us. We don't really get what God is talking about until we've met Jesus. Amen? But that can happen instantaneously if you want to. You want to meet the Lord, you can meet the Lord anytime. Amen? You can seek him, you can embrace him, you can love him anytime. It doesn't have to be, you know, 6 months from now or a year from now. You know, I've heard people say, well, I'll take Jesus more seriously when I get kids. Yeah, right. Yeah, when I get kids. You know, when I know that, you know, the kids should be in church and the kids should, you know, be hearing about Jesus, then I'll take him more seriously. Yeah, right. That's not the way it goes. It's not the way it works. It might be sometime later when they're a little older that you sort of introduce him to the Jesus of the church. But by then, it's often kind of a late time to do it. You know, because why? Because they're ingrained in what they have always wanted to do. They've done what they wanted to do. You know, they wanted to go play, they wanted to meet with friends and so forth. We don't want to go to church. We don't want to hear about Jesus. Guess what? You blew it. That doesn't mean they can't come to know the Lord, because Jesus is Lord. Amen? Jesus is Lord. But this is why I constantly am encouraging young people. And you know I do here too, you know, with our own grandkids and others that come like this, okay? To seek Jesus, to know the Lord, to have a relationship with him. Amen? Be in prayer. Amen? Because he'll answer. He'll tell you exactly what he wants you to know. And if you don't hear it, it's because you're not listening. You hear me? Because he does answer prayer. Praise God. Amen? Sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me. Tell me where you put him, and I will take him away. And watch, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Mary. From his own vocal cords, she hears her name. You don't get much more personal than that. Amen? It's a personal relationship with Jesus. Glory be to God. Mary, he says. Now watch. She turned herself. Now remember where she was. She had been facing in the tomb, kneeling down and everything, talking to the angels. Then she gets, I'm guessing she gets up. She probably doesn't stay in a crouched position the whole time. So she probably gets up and she turns sideways and sees Jesus, but doesn't know it's Jesus. Because she hasn't met, she hasn't greeted the risen Lord, the glorified Lord. Okay, now watch. And he says to her, Mary, and then it says she turned herself. Well, where was she facing before? She had been facing the inside of the tomb. She evidently turns sideways, I'm guessing sideways, and looks over to Jesus. Might have been in the opposite direction, and he's over there somewhere. I don't know. But she turns around, and she is looking at him. Turns herself, it says, and said unto him, Rabboni. Rabboni. Praise God. So she evidently, okay, here's the thing. She evidently had turned back to the tomb. She evidently had perhaps got down again and looked into the tomb to see the angels. And then it says, when he said Mary, she turned herself again and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master, or literally, my great master, my great teacher, is literally what the word means. I told you before, remember that there's only two people that ever heard that word from him that we have recorded in Scripture, and that's Bartimaeus and Mary Magdalene. As far as we know, I mean, those are the two we are told about. So she calls him Rabboni, my great teacher. It's a personal thing, you see. It's not something distant. It's not off in the future. It's now. Praise God. Which is to say, and the Bible says master, but it's my great master is the emphasis that's on Rabboni. All right? Now watch. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not. Which indicates, I think, to us that she's tried to touch him. And I can picture she probably bowed down to her knees and held on to his feet. And Jesus says, don't do that. Now, the other women had just met him. I picture they ran through the woods. I don't know. Maybe they were on a trail or a road, or I don't know. But I figure them cutting through, trying to get back to the others to tell them about Jesus. I just think that's the way it looks to me. Anyway, touch me not. But when he ran into the other women, they did bow down. They did grab a hold of his feet. They did touch him. And you don't hear a word of rebuke. You don't hear anybody else, you know, getting, well, he's not yelling at anybody, but he doesn't get after him like he did with Mary. Touch me not. And I think another reason. I think it's because Mary was trying to shape Jesus into what she thought he should be. Probably looking for him in a certain light. Well, clearly she is. She's not looking for a live Jesus. She's looking for a dead Jesus. She just wants to make sure the tomb is full, and she knows that's where he's at. Put the stone back in front, and we'll be all set. And that's because he hadn't met her yet, or she hadn't met him. She hadn't met the glorified Jesus yet. She didn't know. She thought he was the gardener. Okay? And he said, touch me not. She evidently, and I can picture it this way, I think she probably bowed down, got down on her hands and knees, and grabbed his feet, or tried to. And he said, don't touch me. Now the other women, they did. They fell down on their feet, they held him by the feet, and they touched him. And he let that happen. He didn't say anything to them, stopping them, because evidently that's not the vision they had. That's not the view of it, okay? But with Mary, it's like she's expecting to kind of, she wants to shape him into what she wants him to be. She wanted a dead Jesus in the tomb. She's not even thinking about alive. Do you understand me? Would she rather have a live Jesus? I would imagine. But she doesn't know him as alive. She only knows him as dead. So that's the way she's going to keep him. I lost you once, Jesus. I thought I lost you before. And now you're back, praise God. And I'm not going to let you go again. She's trying to shape him. She's trying to mold him. Like the old song used to say, you know, bend me, shape me, mold me. You know, that's kind of what she's doing with him. Okay? All right, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, go to the other disciples, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. He didn't want her to be shaping him or expecting, maybe I should put it this way, expecting him to be what she wants him to be. So, praise the Lord. Andrew, would you close the door, please? Sounds like my treasure chest opening up. Blowing the dust off it and everything. All right. Okay. Touch me not. And touch means to connect with me, to bind me, to apply oneself to me. She wants him to be what she wants him to be. Sure, I would imagine if she thought it was even possible that he could be alive, she probably would have wanted that. But as far as she knows, he's dead. She saw him die. As far as she knows, he's dead. She doesn't know the risen Lord yet. She doesn't understand that she's met the risen Lord and hasn't connected with him, so to speak, until now. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Now she knows she has met Jesus. Now she knows the others need to hear it. He's alive. Praise God. Amen. He's alive. Praise the Lord. He is not just a popular chant. You know, people will say, oh yeah, I got faith in Jesus. Oh yeah, I believe in him and I believe every word he says. And like I said, you can talk to people and sometimes you'll find out they don't even have any idea what Jesus has ever said. They don't get it. And the Bible says they weren't going to get it until they meet him personally. Okay? A.W. Tozer, he put it this way. He said, I do not recall another period when faith was as popular as it is today. Now, he's talking about probably back in the 60s, 50s and 60s, that faith was very, very popular. Not true faith, not saving faith, but faith as people like to think about it. Okay, do you see what I'm saying? I do not recall another period when faith was as popular as it is today. Faith has come back into favor with almost everybody. The scientist, the cab driver, the philosopher, the actress, the politician, the prize fighter, and the housewife. All are ready to recommend faith as the panacea. Panacea is just a word that means the solution to everything. That's why the epidemic that we're hearing about is called a pandemic, because it's everywhere. Pan means all things, means everywhere, okay, in the original Greek, okay? So a panacea, that is something that cures all ills, all problems, for all our ills, moral, spiritual, and economic. If we only believe hard enough, we'll somehow make it happen. So goes the popular chant, Tozer said. What you believe is not important. Just believe. Now, you do know that these people that he's talking about, that say these kinds of things, are wrong. They're dead wrong. I've heard people say this. It doesn't matter what you believe, just believe something. You just have to believe something. That's not accurate. It's also not biblical, okay? You know, God does want us to believe the truth. He doesn't say, you just go ahead and believe whatever you want. You know, Mike Warnke, the former, I don't know what he's doing now, but former Christian, you know, comic, claimed to have been in Nam, Vietnam, and had all these experiences and so forth, and they found out later he never went. The whole thing was a big lie. He never went. Had all these stories, powerful testimonies about this and that. He had one guy in there, he said, but it never really happened. Well, I mean, it maybe happened, but it's not what he's talking about. Anyway, He said, oh yeah, there was so-and-so, and he had a Jewish star on, and he had the, you know, Star of David, he had a cross, and he had the sickle thing from Islam, and so forth. And he goes, you know, he just fumbles with his words, I believe. He's not going to offend anybody. He's got the symbol of Christianity, of Islam, of Catholicism, or whatever, and he's got it, you know. I believe. That's not faith, people. That's not true faith, because Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. Amen? And that's crucial to see and to understand. Amen? People are saying, if you only believe hard enough, then that's all that matters. Just somehow make it happen. And that's a very popular chant. That's what Tozer's saying here. And that's what we need to see too. What you believe is not important, these people say. Just believe. You're going to spend your life believing the wrong thing. You're not going to make it. Okay? That's really clear. I think there are a lot of people that hold to this idea. Doesn't matter what you believe, just believe something. I think George Carlin once said, of course he was so-called comic, and I think he basically said the same thing. I wasn't going to offend anybody. You know, I don't remember if he was in a war or whatever. Not going to offend anybody, but I had the cross on, and I had the star, and I had this. I wasn't going to offend anybody. Well, you don't get it. You see, if that were true, Jesus wouldn't have said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Because that's just the opposite of what these people are saying. It's just the opposite. Like we said last week, people didn't understand what was going on. They didn't get it until he was glorified. And then, and only then, did they really know of the resurrection, that the chant that needs to be popular is that he's truly alive. Amen? There's a song, and I think I'm going to work at getting a copy of it by next week, and it'll tie into what we're talking about towards the end of the resurrection experiences. But it's a song, a singer, I think it's back in the 60s, I'm just guessing, 60s or 70s, called Don Francisco. And he had a song called He's Alive. He's alive. And years after that, Dolly Parton picked up on that, and she loved that song so much, she performed it on The Tonight Show. And had requests from The Tonight Show staff to sing this song. So she did. And you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you heard the song, maybe you know it. I got it someplace on tape, but I couldn't find it, so we'll see if we can find it, Karen, and we'll bring it next time and fit it in with things, you know. But it goes something like this. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide, he's alive. It goes through the whole story of Judas and Peter, and the whole thing, and the cross and the resurrection and so forth, and now he's alive. Amen? And she, of course, as she's singing this song, making it clear that she's been forgiven and that heaven's gates are open wide. You see, God's prayers, or the prayers for God or to God, you know, about our lives and the things we're asking for, they need to be specific. Go ahead and be specific. Get real specific. I told you before, I thank Jesus personally every day that he took her. Every day. I know this sounds odd. Sounds like, who would do that? Who would think that was a good idea? I wanted her to be healed. I wanted her to be more than fine. She's totally, I don't want to say the word fixed, but totally healed, yes. Amen? And that doesn't mean you don't miss somebody, okay? I'm not talking about that. But I thank Jesus every day that he took her to be healed. Every day. Every day. I don't miss a day. And not that I somehow think that's going to bring her back, okay, because I've been so faithful. No, all right? God is expecting us to pray about all these things. Amen? He knows what we want and need. He just wants us to know it. Amen? Praise God. So be specific. Be direct. Be precise. Praise the Lord. Make that the popular chant. None of this, oh yeah, I've got faith. I have no idea what's in the Bible, but I got faith. You know, no, none of that junk. Okay? I'm talking about knowing Jesus. Personally, that's when these people came to understand what happened with Jesus. When he was raised and appeared to them, that's when they started to understand. Not before. Praise God. Amen? So get rid of the popular chant and make that chant the popular one. Amen? And I believe that's what God wants us to do with all of these things, is that we come to know him personally. He'll answer your prayers, and he will. And it may not be always exactly what you want, but he knows what's best. Amen? Father knows best. That's all there is to it. Amen? And God is looking for a people who just believe that and hold to it and thank him for it. Amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She came and she told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. She had seen the Lord. And she had spoken. He had spoken these things to her. She knew what she was talking about now. Amen. I think that's crucial to see. It's crucial. Because we've been going, you know, a couple years ago we did this. We went through all the scriptures and we couldn't figure out why they don't get it. Why didn't Peter get it? Why doesn't John get it? Why does nobody get it? It's because they don't know him yet. How are you going to get it if you don't know him? I mean, personally. As the glorified, risen Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for all your mercy and grace that comes to us in times such as this, when your word becomes very clear and when you make yourself, dear God, very clear. In what you want us to believe. Hallelujah. Lord, we don't have to figure out what to believe. You've already said what to believe. You already know what we're supposed to be believing. Praise God. And I thank you, Lord, for all of that, because now we can go ahead and meet you very personally and love you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' precious and holy name, we pray all of this, dear God. Amen. Praise God. Amen.